This is Sherry Bayer from All in the Industry. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Radio Cherry Bomb. I'm Claudia Wu.
And I'm Carrie Diamond.
And we're the founders of Cherry Bomb, the indie magazine about women and food. Today's show is brought to you by Ecole Chocolat, the online school for those looking to become chocolate makers or chocolate experts. The great thing is that you can study at your own pace, so if you have a day job but dream about having your own chocolate company one day, you can make it happen. Be sure to check out the site at ecolechocolat.com.
We should have done like a season long project where we learned how to make a chocolate bar.
Might and not every week we'll have like one more piece of the chocolate done.
It might not be too late for us to do that. I bet you'll have your own chocolate line one day, Claudia.
Possibly. Or my friend wants me to do a bakery. We'll see.
Really?
Yes.
You didn't tell me about this.
Well, I made homemade fortune cookies the other day with her.
Oh, totally. I feel like I heard of... Wait, is this Diana?
Diana Yan, yeah. I totally burned my fingertips off, but it was totally worth it. She made the batters, which were matcha and black sesame, and they were amazing.
Yum.
But yeah.
Can we hire you to make these at Nightingale 9?
Oh, yeah. She's like, she has a whole plan. She's like, Claudia, you're so good at manual labor. It'd be my night job.
Claudia's good at other things, too. Anyway, we have a really special show today because we have a guest host, our very first guest host, Emshika Alberini.
Hi, from
Chang Thai Cafe and Emzo Tea and Company in Littleton, New Hampshire. As you know, Radio Cherry Bomb is part of the Heritage Radio Network, and during the year-end pledge drive, Emshika was incredibly generous and snagged one of our pledge gifts, the opportunity to host an episode of the show. So we are super excited to meet Emshika for the first time and to welcome her to Radio Cherry Bomb. We even busted out the sound effects for you. I think we've never really had sound effects here. So we're going to chat with Emshika for a few minutes and then welcome our official guest, Sohee Kim, the chef behind the beloved Good Fork restaurant in Red Hook. Sohee also just opened her latest project, Insa, which combines, ready for this, Korean barbecue, a tiki bar, and karaoke. I'm really lucky because I ate there last night, so I can talk a lot about what we ate and what we heard. I heard a pretty bad rendition of Barbie Girl.
Awesome.
Yeah, we can discuss. But Emshika, did you drive all the way down today, yesterday? What's going on?
So I took a train. Amtrak train is like the best, you know. And then when I got here, I have somebody help me driving me all the way to Bushwick.
You didn't take the L train?
No. I hired somebody because I don't really, you know, take subway that much. So I kind of like, okay, let's get the shortcut to come here. So I have my friend drive me all over the place.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. That's the way to roll. The subway is a little tricky here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No subways in Littleton, New Hampshire.
No. Just, yeah. It's like no traffic either.
No. That's the benefit. Yeah. So you were born in Bangkok.
Yes. Grew up and I was born and raised in Bangkok.
And how did you wind up coming to America?
Well, I came here as a student at first, and I went to Albany, and then I got my master's degree from the school in Albany, and then I worked there for a little bit for the corporate, and then I was thinking I was waitressing for a while I went to school, and then I was like, oh my God, I love it. I can't wait to go waitressing today, and then, you know, so I kept like, okay, but, you know, when you graduate, you got to get a job and all that, so I worked for GE a little bit, and then I moved to Littleton, after I graduated.
What did you study at SUNY Albany?
I went to SUNY Albany for the English as a second language. And then I went to Sage College of Albany, which is they have Sage Graduate School. So I took I got a degree in organization management.
That's good if you're going to have a restaurant.
Yeah, so I still struggle, actually.
We should all have degrees in organization management. And then... So you came to New York City,
yes,
right?
Uh-huh.
What'd you do here?
Like, I mean...
Job. Did you just come and hang out?
Oh, well, You mean when I come here for study?
Oh, so when you went to New York, you went straight to Albany. Spend any time in New York City.
No. I went, actually, I was came back then in 2000. I came here as exchange student first. So I was an au pair, you know, and learn, you know, the culture a little bit. So I went back to Thailand and, I want to come here to, you know, to learn and, you know, get my further education. So I got my student visa, you know, and then I picked Albany for my school to study.
Yes. Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. And then how did you wind up in Littleton, New Hampshire?
Well, I got married. My husband lived in Littleton, New Hampshire, so we settled, you know, the place over there.
Okay. And how did you come to open your restaurant?
Well, actually, you know, I my sister was passed away, you know, 10 years ago, and, you know, she always wanted to own her restaurant someday. And then at that time, I feel like, oh, my God, I like to work, but then I don't, you know, like you feel like, wow, what do you really love, really, you know? So I was like, I think I love to have a restaurant. She just drive me in, you know, in my heart, like almost every day. So I decided I was pregnant with my first child, and then I was looking for the place, and then one day I saw the sign for rent on Main Street. I'm like, yes, I think I can do it. Even though at that time I don't really have money.
Wait, you were pregnant and you decided to do your first restaurant.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Everyone say that every day.
So he's shaking her head.
Shaking my head.
And what was the restaurant in good shape? Were you buying an existing business or
no,
it had
shut
actually, down?
It used to be a pizza place, you know, in town called Go Hao Pizza. And then it was nothing because the building got some accident.
Uh-huh.
And it's shut down for like 6 months. And I was like, oh, what should I do? You know, like, but it used to be a restaurant. It can be a restaurant again, right? So I was like, well, I have no fun. And what? So I went to the bank and then I still not getting, you know, like a credit. And then I was like, use my credit card and then to open it.
Wow.
You know? So we built from scratch, like
wow.
Without the wall, nothing.
No bank loan,
no
investors,
bank loan,
you had a
no,
credit card.
Yes.
Wow.
And then, and then at that time, there was construction on Main Street. You can see like a lot of truck coming, like took out the sidewalk and everything. But everyone come to me and say, are you crazy? Really? What you want to do this? That's a big risk, you know? And I was like, I think I will make it happen, you know. And
wow, that's an inspiration. I mean, so many people who want to do projects, they just feel they can't do it because they don't have money, they can't get a loan, they don't have connections, but you just made it happen.
You just have to feel it. It's if it's right, then it's right, you know. Just like, you
so
know,
true.
Just your soul. I think a lot of things come from your soul. Yeah.
And you are the chef.
I am the chef and owner.
Okay, so how did you learn how to cook?
Well, my mom is I think I learned a lot from my mom. My grandmother owned a restaurant for 45 years, you know, back in Thailand. And my mom always cooked home cooking all the time. And then I learned from her. And actually, I never cooked when I was in the college. My roommate always cooked for me. And then I was like, I think I know, like, I like to eat really good food. And I feel like with your feel or your sense, and I think I can make a really good food by learning from mom, you know, closely every day. When I open it, she worked with me.
So what are some of your specialties at the restaurant?
My mom has a recipe, like, you know, like very good curry. Like in Thai, we call khanom jin, and she loves making that every day. But our restaurant has a special, like, duck, like a tamarind duck. She make really good, like, tamarind sauce and top with, like, a crispy duck breast. And it's really good.
And you also have a tea shop now?
Yes, I do. I love coffee, you know, like, but I like very specialty coffee. So I have, like, we feature intelligency coffee at our coffee shop. And we have, like, a little pastry, like macaron and all that.
Yum.
Yes.
So why do you call it Enzo?
Enzo, yes. Actually, it's come from, like, Japanese word, like, called Enzo. It means, like, circle, nonstop. But my first name was Mshika, so I want to associate with, you know, like, two words together. So M is like my name and then /dash. So mean like never stop learning, never stop doing.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's
you.
Great. So what's the restaurant scene like up there? Is there a restaurant scene? Are you the only game in town?
I think I make a town a little like, you know, spice. So yeah, like we have a good beer company, Chilling Beer & Co. and behind the restaurant. And then we have really good like martini bars, you know. And like, when I live in Littleton, it's a lot of tourist spot. For example, people come for skiing or, like, fall.
Right. Yes.
You know, like
the leaf peepers.
Peepers, yes. And it's kind of like all year round thing. And then people can, you know, try some Thai food without, like, you know, stay come away all the way from the city, and then you still have Thai food on Main Street.
So by the time this show airs, we're pre-recording this show, but by the time it airs, the New Hampshire primary will have taken place. So you're pretty overrun with journalists right now.
Yes, I saw the NBC News the other night, and I saw my restaurant sign on the NBC night show.
Exciting.
Which is great. Yes, they're very excited. Actually, it's come up soon, like next week.
Do you are you ready to endorse anyone?
I am. I'm ready.
You are? Who? Do you want to announce it? It won't matter because the New Hampshire primary will be over by the time people hear this. But do you want to say, you don't have to, but do you want to say who you're voting for?
Well, you know, I actually at MSOC T&Co, I own the building that featured Hillary phone bank.
You own the building now?
And
you're doing okay up there.
Yes, I guess. And then we have, like, you know, everyone is great, you know. We have a great candidates, actually. So, I feature some of the politicians, so.
Uh-huh. So wait, did you say who you're going to vote for? Or you don't want to say? You don't have to. You don't have to. I know it's very political up there.
Yeah.
So. Okay, we won't make you. There will be no endorsement. Unless he wants to endorse somebody, there will be no endorsements announced on today's Radio Cherry Bomb.
Well, I'm just going to tell you a story. I have an 8-year-old daughter. And, you know, she's in third grade, and she's very up on current events, and she knows that there's, you know, this election going on and the run for the White House. And she one day asked me, "So, Mommy, are you going to vote for Hillary or Bernie?" And I say, "Well, I haven't decided yet, Jasper. I don't know, but why do you ask?" And she says, "Well, I want you to vote for Bernie because I want to be the first woman president."
Oh, that's a cute story.
Aww. Isn't that cute?
We can't wait that long.
No.
All right, so Amshika, you are our co-host today, so we're going to let you ask Sohee the first question.
Okay.
Go for it.
So Sohee, what is the most challenge for the restaurant business owner, you know?
What's the greatest challenge?
Yes.
Biggest challenge? Oh, I think there are many challenges. You know, right now, because I'm in such an unusual situation of having a very brand new second restaurant, the challenge right now is just to, okay, how do we deal with both restaurants, you know, and how do we manage it, and how do we keep being responsible, you know, good owners, you know, and make sure everything is managed well. It's really people, right? You have to hire and make sure that you're around good people so that you have a good culture of great service, great food, you know, make sure your customers are well, you know, taken care of. So there are minor little challenges, and of course every day is never dull. But if you have good management team, good people in place, I think that is, if you have that, then you're going to be okay. And right now I sit here very thankful to be here and thankful to be sitting down because I am. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty tired. But I feel very, very good about where things are headed. The Good Fork is going to turn 10 years old in a couple of months. So we're very excited and celebrating the fact that we've been around. And it's hard, you know, in the New York City restaurant scene, I feel like. And Inside's just open. And we're still working on it. Carrie, you ate there last night, so you have
I
to...
I had a great time.
Yeah, good.
Your staff's fantastic.
Good.
I mean, we wound up working with a bunch of the different servers last night, and they were all dynamite and took great care of us.
That's great.
The place is just so much fun.
It really is. And, you know, Ben, when we were thinking of the name, Amshika asked me what Insa means, which in Korean it means greeting, to greet. It was very, very difficult to pick that name. And it took a very, very long time and many meetings to come up with this fantastic name, which I think is a great name. But Ben jokingly one time said very early on, it's like, you know, we just want it to be a really fun place, you know, and I'm going to design it, and it's going to have really cool design, you know, elements, and karaoke is going to bring lots of fun. Obviously, that's the fun element of it, you know, aside from drinking and dining. But so why don't we name the place Korean Fun Time Place for Celebration? He kept joking about that. And of course, you know, at every meeting, we would kind of laugh about it. But we have that actually now printed on our tote bag.
That's awesome.
Korean Fun Time Place for Celebration.
We talked to Ben a little bit last night at the table, and you told us you met him when he was an actor,
mm-hmm.
and he was doing woodwork on the side to make ends meet, to make a living.
Yeah.
And anybody who's been the Good Fork has seen the beautiful woodwork there.
Yeah.
And same thing at INSA. I mean, you walk in and you guys did a beautiful job.
He really did. And when I said, yes, we made this lovely restaurant, it was all him. And, you know, I was sort of just waiting in the sideline, just ready to go with the food program. But it's just been an amazing journey to see how he took this raw space. I mean, there was literally nothing in there. It was just a big warehouse space. It's 4,600 square feet. And I said, you know, if we signed the lease, and I said to him, I was like, how are we going to fill this space? It's just way too big. And he started, you know, just rattling off about so many design ideas. You know, he envisioned the curved wall, you know, and that's really great for actually sound, and it's just aesthetic. It's just very warm and cozy, even though it's a big dining space. So he has some really great design ideas, and he sort of comes from a tradition. He has roots in Vermont, actually. In Warren, Vermont, where he has some family there, and his parents, who are teachers, you know, they took him and his sister up to Vermont for the summertime. And that community is very special and interesting. There's a bunch of architects and design and builders, and he really thrived, you know, and learned a lot about design-build approach. So he could just look at a space, and he just has that sort of mind, like, I see this, and this is how we're going to make it happen. And in thinking about the second restaurant, it was all pure excitement. And of course, having run the Good Fork for 10 years, we knew, you know, a lot of lessons that we learned along the way.
Which we will get to.
Yeah.
Did you read the story in New York Magazine, how it's very on trend to have a woodworker boyfriend?
I did not
you
know
didn't
that.
See that?
No.
Oh, we have to send, he read it. Someone so sent funny. It to him. We have to send you that, you know, between Aiden.
Amy Schumer.
From Sex and Yes. Amy Schumer's boyfriend
That's
is a carpenter.
So,
so
That's
you,
so great.
You're so on trend.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I mean, we, you know, we met a long time ago, but, you know, so my best friend introduced me to Ben, and they were on a show together. And she said, you know, I really like Ben a lot, but, you know, he is an actor, sweetheart. And, you know, I want more for you. And I said to her, I was like, but he's also a woodworker. I think that's very handy.
10 years later, yep. You learn the hard way how handy that would come in back in 2012 when Hurricane Sandy struck.
Yep.
And the restaurant was destroyed.
Yeah.
Your restaurant, The Good Fork, which for those of you who don't know The Good Fork, it's really a beloved institution in Red Hook. Back when Sohee and Ben opened the place, there were not a lot of restaurants there
mm-hmm.
at all.
Right.
And everyone feels very emotionally attached to your restaurant down there. I live on the border of Red Hook and Carroll Garden, so I know how meaningful your place is to the community. Everybody was really devastated.
Yeah.
When that happened. Do you want to talk a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, no fun. Superstorm Sandy, no fun at all. It was really devastating to so many communities in New York City and hit so hard. And when, you know, I have two little ones and we evacuated to the safe island of Manhattan. It seems so weird. So as we were evacuating, I feel like I didn't fully understand, like, what kind of damage a storm could just deliver. And we got the real pure punch, and there were lots of just pretty much the main street in Red Hook is Van Brunt Street, and a lot of restaurants were affected. A lot of people, you know, had to move, and homes just devastated. We lived down there as well. Our house was saved. Luckily, the storm sort of surge sort of stopped right in front of our front door, and then it receded. But on Van Brunt Street, you know, where the Good Fork is, it was devastated. So the very next day when we went in to sort of survey the damage, it was just worse than what we thought. And then we had to make a decision along with, you know, a lot of the other businesses, of course, whether to rebuild, whether to just go on. And at that point, you know, it'd been about 7 years. And I said to him, I was like, well, maybe this is cosmic force telling us we should stop, you know. Just cut out all this, you know, headaches of owning a restaurant. But of course, the outflowing, just the overflowing of love and support from all of our, you know, customer base, our neighbors, our friends, you know, so many people just reached out and said, hey, what can we do, you know, to get back, to help you guys get back on your feet. So it really, that's sort of the first time that I realized that it wasn't just our little restaurant, that it belonged, that it had a meaning, you know, outside of our ownership, you know, it belonged to a lot of people. So we quickly made the decision to rebuild, and yes, so it was only because of Ben's handiness and his know-how, that we were able to pretty much rebuild in 2 months. New Year's Eve was our grand opening, reopening day, and it was very celebratory. But I have to tell you that winter, right after we reopened, you could feel it. You know, there was a lot of people were going through depression, and it was really cold that winter, particularly. So it was no fun at all. But there's a strong sense of community. I mean, there was a strong sense of community before the storm, and after that, it just glued us all together. I love Red Hook, I have to say. Pretty awesome place.
So what is your special, special dish over there?
Oh, special dishes, right. So because we've been open for 10 years and we serve, when we opened, that was sort of, we didn't have a fancy business plan like you. We just thought, hey, I could cook and you could build and it'll be great.
Let's I think our fancy business plan was just to use our credit card.
That's right. I still use it.
So there was really no, you know, we didn't research, it was just really an excitement and a passion for food and entertaining that drove us to open. And you know, in terms of designing the menu, we thought that I would keep it very simple. And it would be a neighborhood place, first and foremost. I never expected people to really travel there. And because we lived there, we knew that there were very few places to eat. Like, it would be a great idea just to offer another. We were both fully prepared in 6 months to close the doors and go get a real job. But anyway, I put a few items on the menu that seemed like it didn't kind of go together. Like, I make dumplings really well. And so I make that at home a lot. And Ben's like, you should put that on the menu. I'm like, no, this is going to be very serious. You know, I studied at Anissa and Blue Hill and all that. I want to sort of quasi fancy food. And, you know, I want to impress. So there was a little bit of both, like some fine dining tricks that I learned over the years, and then some comfort, you know, food. And somehow I, you know, put together a menu that seemed to satisfy a lot of people. And so when you ask me what some of those dishes are, I would say it's the dumplings. I have a dish on called steak and eggs, and you know, that's definitely inspired by Korean ingredients and flavors.
There's a little kimchi in that too.
Yeah,
right?
There's kimchi.
Wow. So that's a popular dish.
And that's where I actually learned to make kimchi. And my mom came out from LA and she told me how to make her kimchi. Of course, I had to modify it a little bit. And there's a good solid roast chicken dish on there. So there are a few dishes that I can't take off, but there are other dishes that are seasonal and, you know, revolving and changing all the time. And I'm working with a fantastic chef over there, Sam Filaramo, and he has brilliant ideas. Mm-hmm. It's a very cute little restaurant that I'm very, very proud of. For sure.
And now you have a newborn.
I have a newborn.
A 7-week-old.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Well, the restaurant.
Yes.
Not an actual baby. But
it's sort of a similar process for those who have children. Yeah.
Nothing is harder than opening a restaurant.
No.
So I'm amazed you're even here.
Yeah.
It was really fun to see you last night. But tell everybody about INSA. What can they expect when they go there?
Yeah, so INSA is a bigger place. So those people who know the Good Fork, it's not the quaint 35, 45-seat restaurant. It's pretty, it's a It's a giant. The dining room seats about 85 people, and there's a separate bar area that we serve tiki-inspired drinks, and the design decor is very much like Shanghai circa 1920s. You know, Ben tried to bully me into making a poo-poo platter for the bar, and I said no.
The bar's really chic.
It's pretty chic.
Yeah,
and you know,
it's beautiful in there.
Those who know the Good Fork, it has a very warm, cozy, neighborhoody feeling. It's a little bit rustic, you know. But I feel like the design for INSA with at my urging is a little sleeker, but you know, not like Manhattan sleek. You know, it's still comfortable.
It feels very contemporary.
Contemporary, I guess that's the word. Yeah, yeah, contemporary.
And every table has a little built-in
grill.
Grill,
right? So
tell us about the food we can grill ourselves there.
Yeah, so it's the concept is Korean barbecue, which means that you have a fantastic grill right in front of you. And, you know, Korean food in general, I feel like it's very popular these days. And people know more about the Korean flavors and not really afraid of it. So, you know, when discussing what our second project was going to be, we thought, you know, not another Good Fork, definitely something different. And we're making these trips out to Flushing, Murray Hill, you know. I craved it on my days off, so we'd make the drive, and we're like, we need a Korean barbecue place in Brooklyn. And there are a few, but in Gowanus seems like a fun place to have that. So that was sort of the inspiration, and in terms of the food, I wanted to offer a very sort of authentic approach. Some things are slightly different in its presentation, and there are some dishes that I do mess around with just a little bit, but it's not like modern Korean food. A lot of people are doing that very successfully, but I wanted that traditional sort of, you know, down-home, good, you know, funky kimchi, like the side dishes, you know, that we call banchan, a good array of it. And
the side dishes were so good. We had kimchi, which was great. Is that your mom's?
No.
Modified kimchi?
No, that's a recipe that we've been tweaking for a long time. Yeah.
And the little, they were black beans?
Yeah.
Those were great.
Yeah, they're actually black soybeans, and they come dried, and you pretty much stew it in soy sauce and a little bit of sugar.
Those are addictive.
Yeah, they're really, really good.
The cuttlefish.
The cuttlefish is dried, shaved cuttlefish, and then you throw a little gochujang sauce, you know, on it, and it's just sweet and savory and delicious. That is very addictive as well.
What, if you're visiting INSA for the first time, what should someone order? Walk us through, like, what would be a perfect order?
Sure. We offer a selection on the menu call for the table, and those items are much more, I think, recognizable. Two types of dumplings. There's two types of pancakes, savory pancakes. One is a seafood pancake, using fresh seafood, and there is one called mung bean pancakes where we take some dried mung beans, soak it. A lot Indian cuisine actually utilizes this method, and you puree it to make a batter. So there's no, you know, for those gluten-free folks out there, it's, you know, really delicious, and they could eat that. It's spiked with some chilies and some kimchi. So there's a lot of great offerings. We also wanted to offer some esoteric stuff that you might not be able to find on typical, you know, Korean barbecue menu, such as sundae, which is a Korean blood sausage. You know, I think when people think of blood sausage, they think of boudin noir, which is very thick with blood and has a certain consistency. But we just use a little bit of the blood to sort of bind sweet rice and vermicelli noodles. So I think that's really delicious to share and something interesting to try. And also we have a pork belly bosam, which is slow cooked. I'm getting hungry.
Yeah,
I'm making myself
making us hungry too. And what tiki drink should we have to go with all of that?
Oh, my favorite is Mai Tai on there. But we have some really fun cocktails that are, and we named it after some Korean folk tales. But Mai Tai, I would have to say that's my favorite.
Cool.
Yeah,
we're going to take a quick station break, and when we come back, we're going to find out what Sohee's karaoke song of choice is, and Amshika's. I bet you've done some karaoke in your day.
I love karaoke.
We'll be right back. Do you love chocolate? Turn your passion into a profession with École Chocolat School of Chocolate Arts. This award-winning school offers many programs for chocolate making so you can master techniques and gain the expertise and business knowledge you need to become a professional chocolate maker. You'll create mouth-watering chocolate recipes from professional instructors while interacting with your classmates and tutors all online. Become a chocolate expert with École Chocolat via your computer, phone, or tablet. Pursue your passion for chocolate. Visit écolechocolat.com today.
Welcome back to the second half of Radio Cherry Bomb. So when we left, we were talking about karaoke that you can do at INSA. Carrie, did you do any karaoke last night?
I did not do. I'm not a big karaoke person. I did do karaoke at the wedding I went to last week in the Bahamas. It snowed. I got to be That's stuck awesome. In the Bahamas. Poor me. And the weather was not great in the Bahamas, so the bride had a karaoke machine for us. And I think I did Madonna's Like a Prayer. But there weren't a lot of choices. That would not have been my first choice. That just happened to be, I know, the control booth is like, oh, thumbs up. Okay. It was a good karaoke song. You realize when you do karaoke, a lot of songs are too long.
Yes.
Songs should be shorter.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping to do a song by The Clash because I thought, you know, punk songs are like really short, but that was not an option. So
there is a skip. There's a couple of controls that you could use. Sometimes when I go back in there, by the way, it's for me. It's such a great stress release for me, especially in the first weeks of opening, you know, while I'm prepping or getting ready and I'm getting all frustrated. I just say, okay, I got to sing a song. And Jamie Seed, our general manager, does the same thing. Like she just bolts back there and just, you know, sing a song and let it out. And it feels so good. It's better than screaming in the walk-in.
So what's your go-to? What's your go-to song?
So my go-to song for karaoke is We Belong by Pat Benatar.
Oh.
Yes, it's a great song.
That's ambitious.
It's actually not that ambitious. It's short. It's not that long. And there's not a lot of, like, repeat verses. And I feel like that you're right, Carrie. There are some songs that are more karaoke-friendly than others. And it's just a short, to the point. Yeah, some of those notes I can't really hit. But I didn't say I was good at it. I just like singing it.
You have to sing a little bit of We Belong
no,
for us. Yes,
no.
Just one
no,
line.
I'm not
just,
doing it.
Just the chorus.
No,
don't embarrass
her. I need the soju shots. I need the beer, the OB. You know, I have to have the full package.
I'm Chica, your turn.
My favorite? Britney Spears. Oops. I did it again. I know. I sing that all the time. Yeah, but I do like Katy Perry, actually, I have to say.
Okay. All right. Next time, you're going to have to sing for us. We're not going to let you get away with
most
it.
Most definitely.
Or we'll go to INSA and listen to you.
You can do that. It happens about 2:45 p.m.
All right. So we're going to do the speed round. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Coffee.
How do you take your coffee?
Strong bowl.
No milk or sugar?
Yeah. Straight up.
Straight up. What's in your refrigerator?
Like Britney Spears. Who sings straight up?
I like
digress.
New
Ignore
kids
me.
Or
Ignore
something?
Me. Go ahead. Go back to speed round.
No, it's Abdul.
Paula Abdul.
Right. Yeah. That's a karaoke song. That's a good one.
What was the last song you guys listened to?
Oh my God, I don't know.
It's too hard. Okay, what's in your refrigerator right now?
Nothing. I just opened the restaurant.
Juice.
What's in yours?
Like juice, like, you know, like fresh
juices?
Juice. Yeah, pressed juice.
Okay, nothing else?
Nothing. Oh, you're a juicer?
Juicer.
You're a juicer.
All right, what are your favorite foods?
Korean food.
Thai food.
Oh.
This is silly.
Is there anything you won't eat?
I'll eat anything.
Yeah, chicken feet.
I'll eat that.
What's your favorite drink, alcoholic?
I love a Negroni.
Chocolate martini.
Favorite kitchen tool?
Zester.
You know, KitchenAid, like
Roboku?
Yeah.
Yeah.
robot.
Where do you want to go to next?
In terms of a restaurant?
No, in terms of anything.
Oh, since we're, I want to go to Mexico. I've never been there.
You're too fixated on work, Suhi.
I know.
Paris.
Oh, I love Paris.
What are you guys working on next? I know, right? I'm sorry. You just opened a restaurant. And Chico, what are you up to these days?
Oh.
What's going on that credit card next?
Yeah, let's just go see fashion show, maybe.
Oh,
New York
fun.
Fashion Week.
Oh, fun, fun. Any more restaurants in your future?
Not, I don't know. Maybe, another credit card maybe available.
Do you have time to hang out in New York and see the sights?
I love Soho.
Are you going to go?
Yes.
Today?
Tomorrow.
All right. Are there any restaurants you want to hit up while you're here?
Actually, I want to go to Nightingale Nye and Sweet
Canada.
Okay.
You did your homework. Well, we're going to have pizza here next, so we're going to stick around and make sure. Mshika couldn't come all the way out to Bushwick and not have some Roberta's pizza, so we're going to treat her to some pizza after this. And I have to say, we, of course, tried to do our homework on you, and I feel like I read an interview that you did with Frank Bruni 10 years ago where you said you don't eat chicken feet.
Now I do. See? So what a difference, 10 years makes, for sure. It's not my favorite, but I had some strong, I didn't like celery back then either. I mean, I still don't love it, but, as a chef, you have to make yourself sort of well-rounded. So, yeah.
Well, Sohi, thank you. We know how hard it is opening a restaurant, and it's really a pleasure to have you here. We've been a fan for so long.
Thank you so
much. You are so respected in the New York food scene, and people think the world of you and what you've built. So
thank you. Thank you guys for having me. This was super fun.
It's absolutely our pleasure. And Mshika.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. And on behalf of everybody at Heritage Radio, the whole team is behind you applauding. Like you said, Heritage Radio is a nonprofit operation, so we really, really rely on listener support, and to have someone as generous as you help us out really means the world. So thank you. We hope you come back and visit.
I had a great time. Thank you so much.
We would really love to come visit. If anybody is in or near New Hampshire, you have to go visit Mshika's places, and please ask for her when you go. And say hi, and thank you again on our behalf. Big chocolate kisses to our sponsor, Ecole Chocolat. Check out the different classes they offer at ecolechocolat.com. If chocolate is your passion, you just might want to make it your profession. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Hi, I'm Amy Virginia Buchanan, and I'm the Artistic Director at Spring Street Social Society. Radio Cherry Bomb is a joint production of Cherry Bomb Magazine and the Heritage Radio Network. To subscribe or learn more about the magazine, visit cherrybomb.com. And you know who I think is the bomb? Maggie Ruggiero, because she taught me how to look for hero food when grocery shopping.